Okay, so what I'm trying to do today is wrap up, basically, from the Nullifimate Bayesian 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 until you get to the Meiser-Shani sugyas. So there's basically three sugyas I want to touch. We had discussed when we did Shtus the issues of Ona'a by coins, whether it's a 6th, a 12th, a 24th, and which of those we paskin, like a 6th or a 12th. So we're not going to go back to that, but there is one important Ona'a issue that comes up in that discussion, which I do want to deal with, which is the question of whether you can overcharge someone on condition that you are planning to return the money to them if they ask you for it, which comes up in Tosfos in the middle of that. So yeah, that's going to be the first issue I want to discuss. The second issue, just going in order of the daf that I want to deal with, is the concern of Rama'ut, that the Gemara has a discussion of if you have a coin which has been damaged more than a 6th, are you allowed to then give it to sell it to a merchant such that they can use it, or do you have to be worried that they're going to use it in an illegal fashion? If it looks like we're not getting, like if we're going to run out of time, if I do that topic, I'm going to skip it, and the Makaros are there. It's really a side topic. It's an interesting topic, so I put the sources, that's section 2, but it's the least sort of fundamental of the three. And the last one is coming back to some of the issues of Bimad Beya, how long you have to retract on this, and maybe a little bit of Halach Lamaisa implications that I'm not totally sure about, but sort of am. So, but we'll see. Okay, so the first question, Manas Lahachzer. So if we look, just again to see the Gemara quickly that we've seen it, in number one. So the Mishnah had said, and so how much can a coin be missing that doesn't have Ona'a? So Meir Omar, Arba Yisaros, Yisar Ladina, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Arba Pinyonos, Pinyonos Ladina, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmona Pinyonos, Shnei Pinyonos Ladina, which comes out to either a 6th, a 12th, or a 24th, without getting into the math. And how long do you have to retract, to renege on this? So the Gemara, so Mishnah says, Bikrachim Akadei Shiyira Lushulchani. You have enough time to bring it to the money changer, which is similar, parallel to the discussion we've already had in general by Ona'a, that you have the amount of time to go to a Tagar, and we already mentioned at the time, the Machlok is the Rajba and Rav Rishonim, whether we actually need you to have time to go to a merchant, actually go to a merchant, or whether it's just a low plug, based on the amount of time, which is how we paskin against the Rajba. Bikvarim, so how much time is that? So if you live in the towns, Ad Arve Shabbosos, it's until Arv Shabbos, either because on Arv Shabbos the people from the towns would go into the city, or because the money changers would come into the Kfarim on Arv Shabbos. The Rishonim have slightly different formulations of it, but the point is that the people living in the small towns would have access on a regular basis to the expert money changers by Friday. Imhaya Makira, and if he recognizes it, which the Gemara will get into what exactly that means, and even after 12 months he has to accept it, and he can only complain, and he can use this money for Meiser Sheni, and it's only Nefesh Ra'ah. Again, the Gemara discusses exactly what that means, but it's just not a great thing to do, or something like that. So the Gemara says, Uriminu ad kamate asel chaser v'yebo. No. So the first issue, okay, we've seen this Gemara, I'll skip it. The Gemara just deals with the technicality, is here it implies that it would, right, there seems to be a stira of whether it's at a 6th or 12th or 24th or up to, but not including a 6th, 12th, or 24th. So the Gemara just says it depends on whether you're counting from up, going from up to down or down to up. We discussed that. Then let's skip to Gufa. So Gufa. Ad kamate hasel chaser ve'ba'un. So how much does it have to be lacking? So Meir Omar Arba Yisaros Yisar Ladinar Vidom Arba Pinyonis Ben Ladinar Shimon Arba Shmona Pinyonis Shnei Pinyonis Ladinar. Again, the 6th, 12th, 24th. Yeser Al Kain. If it's more than that, Mochra Bishavya, then you can't sell it for its full value. You have to sell it for the amount of gold or silver, whatever, silver really, that it has left in the coin. Ad kamate divoches vihei rashai lekaima. And how much can a coin lose and you're still allowed to keep it around? Besela ad shekel, bedinar ad rova. So pachos mikain, isar, asur. If it's less than that by an isar, then it is asur. And hareza lo yimkarena lo l'tagar v'lo l'charam v'lo l'harag, and you aren't allowed to sell it to a merchant, to a someone who will threaten different types of violent people, either death or other types of violence that they will threaten. Because they will use this coin, which is defective, as if it weren't defective, and they will deceive other people. So what do you do? So you just make a hole in it, and you turn it into a necklace. You turn it into jewelry instead of using it as a coin. Amar mar besela shekel bedinar adrova maishna besela shekel maishna bedinar adrova. So, right, why is it, right, because there's a distinct difference between that. The difference between a sela and shekel is much smaller than the difference between dinar and a rova. So, Amar Abaye, my rova, diktani nami rova shekel. Right, it's not a rova, it's a, right, not a quarter of its price, but a rova shekel, where the difference between a dinar minus a rova shekel will not be that much. Amar rova, dekanami, dekatani rova, loktani rovia, shmamina. Lama le mitla le dinar b'shekel. Milsa agav urche kamashman, to just teaching us that sometimes ika dinar dasim shekel, that it can happen that a dinar, that a shekel will basically be shaved down until it's only the size of a dinar. Umisayla riyami damar ramiyami dinar habami shekel mutar lekaimo dinar habami sela aser lekaimo. Right, so Rabbi Ami had said that a dinar, which comes from a shekel, right, if a shekel is only left with a dinar, so then you're allowed to keep it. If it comes from a sela, which is much bigger, therefore it's lost a lot more, then you can't be mekayim it. In the last unit in the Gemara says, Pachos mikain isar asur. So my kamar, what does this mean? Amar Abaye means as follows. Hach kamar. Pichsa sela yoser michdei ona'a isar. If a coin has lost more than the amount of ona'a, meaning more than a sixth, another isar, then asur, then you can't keep it around. Amar le rava ihachi afilu mashu nami. Rava said, I don't get it. Once you hit the sixth or the 12th or the 24th, any more than that, even a slight bid, will be more than a sixth or a twelfth. Therefore, it should be aser. So, ela marava pichsa sela isar lidinar aser ustama kirib meir. Right? It's just telling you that if a sela loses an isar per dinar, which is, I can never get this math right, which is the position of rib meir, which is a sixth. Is that right? I can never get how many coins it is, but that's the position of Rabbi Meir, which was Arba Yisar is the dinar, which is the sixth, I believe. No, sorry, Rabbi Shimon is the sixth. Rabbi Meir is a twelfth. Yeah, is a twelfth. It's a twelfth. And we pass in like Rabbi Meir. Okay. So Tosos asked the question here. Number two, right? Amar Abai, Pacho Sela Yosir Michdeo Na Yisar Asur Lehotzia. So when we say that you're this coin that's been shaved down, you're not allowed to spend it. So what does that mean? So perish Rashi. Rashi says, "Biyafe, you aren't allowed to sell." So sorry, there's two possibilities of what it means. You can't spend the coin. Either you can't spend it at all, right? Even at a lower rate, because we're worried that you're not going to do it at a lower rate, right? Or that the next person will use it at a higher rate, or something like that. Meaning, once the coin has been shaved down too much, you can't use it at all. Or do we mean, no, if it is shaved down too much, so you can use it, you just can't use it at its full value, right? If a $100 coin, if you have it, or whatever they had, right, whatever the value is, if it's shaved down, so it only has $99 worth of silver, but it's still considered legal tender, so then you're allowed to use it for $100. But if it's shaved down a quarter, so then you can use it for $70. You can sell it as silver, but you can't sell it as legal tender, and therefore it's not worth $100. So Rashi says, when we say you can't spend it, we mean you can't spend it at its full value. So Tosa says, obviously, v'imtamer pshita. Right? So Tosa says, I don't get it. That's obvious. The fact that a coin that's lacking a significant amount can't be spent as full legal tender should be obvious. V'rava nami sheik shafilu mashu nami hayo lo lahakshu shafilu kdeo na nami. And Rava should have asked better than afilu mashu, who he should have said, what was the havamina that if it's missing a sixth, you're allowed to spend it at its full legal tender? So Tosa's answer is v'yesh lomar dimairi afilu bidaito lahakshir ha'ona'a asur kevan. The Chiddush is like this, that even if, let's say it's a sixth plus, and you want to spend it, right, so let's take, and we'll take an easy number here, right, let's take a $60 coin, right, so now it's missing $11, right? A little bit more than a sixth. So you might have thought that you can spend the $60 coin as $60, but then if the person who comes to you and says, wait a second, it's only worth $49, and you say, fine, I'll give you the $11 back, then that would be mutter. Kamash mon, you're not allowed to. Aval kideyo na'a, but if it's only a sixth, meaning you spent the $60 coin, which has now been shaved down to $50 worth of silver, mutter lohotzia biyafe. You can spend it not only as $50, you can send it as $60. Ubilvad, sheyachzir ha'ona im yitba'enu, Allah kodem shiira l'shulchani. As long as, if the person asks you for the money, you will return the sixth value, that $10, to the person who spent the coin. Now, the weird thing, and this is what the Nesivos notes in 3, is that mashma midivrei hatos bam mitzia dafnun beis dimutter lahonos chaveru b'shtus adaita lahachshe ona ve'ena osa kein rakadeshis gaima mekach b'shavyo. The implication of Tosfos is that it is mutter to charge someone ona as long as you have in mind to give back the ona. And why would you do
also. What? We've seen that before also, that you're allowed to be ma'ana planning to.
Correct. And the Nesivos gets it from here.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what's strange for me is two things. One is, yes, we've seen it before, but I don't like it. Why is it that you're allowed to charge someone ona? Because the way Nesivos understands it is, look, I want this kinyan to go through, and I know the halacha is that if there's an ona of exactly a six, the kinyan will go through, but I'll have to pay back the money. But if I told you it was $60, you might not. Sorry, if I told you it was six, yeah. If I told you it was, what?
I told you it was less, then you would never buy it. Now that I'm telling you it's
yeah, more, I don't know.
Of course
I don't know. Whatever it is, right?
No, if I told you it was less, you would try to bargain me down.
Oh, right. So what I do is I bargain. So I tell you it's $60, and it's really $50, but I am in mind to give back the money. That's fine. So first of all, I don't understand it, because that just seems bizarrely deceptive to me.
This should be a car.
Yeah, but what's worse is I really don't understand that. I'll be honest, I don't understand the diak of the Nesivos at all, because the Nesivos, what Tosfos said is in fact worse than what the Nesivos says. The Nesivos I could hear, which is, look, if I plan on giving back the money, so what did you lose? Right, I'm giving you back the ona. Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos said it's mutter if I will return the money if you ask me. But if you don't ask me, I won't give it to you, which seems to me...
This is it. This is car buying.
Yes, I get it. I understand.
When they ask for it.
So I get it. I get it. I find it very strange. I'll be honest. I find it very, very odd. So did the Tosfos Rush, right? The Tosfos Rush says, "Aderech tzarech ina mutal anush kajdaita lahachzir." Now, first of all, first thing notable of the Tosfos Rush is that if the Tosfos Rush is correctly interpreting Tosfos... not correctly. I mean, if Tosfos Rush is commenting on our Tosfos, which is not clear, right? Meaning you never really know. Because our Tosfos, Tosfos Shelanu, is a conglomeration of many different Balei Tosfos. So if the Tosfos Rush is reflecting the tradition that is reflected in our Tosfos, so then the Nesivos is correct in his read of Tosfos, right? Because he makes it clear that the issue isn't, is it mutter to be ma'ane when the person, if you plan on returning it only if the guy asks you, he broadens the question the way the Nesivos does, to a more palatable question, which is, if you plan on giving it back, regardless of whether he asks you. So the Nesivos is following at least the tradition that's found in the Tosfos Rush, which may or may not be what the tradition our Tosfos is reflecting. Because that is what's Yotze according to Rashi. But the Rush doesn't like it. He says, no. Remember, this whole assumption stems from the read of the Gemara that when it says asher lahotzia, it means you can't spend it at its full value. But maybe the question here isn't a question about onah. The issue here is about a possible ramos, right? A possible deception down the line. And the chiddush of the Gemara is you aren't even allowed to spend the money at its going rate, right? Meaning not at $60, at $50. Now that's not an onah question, and that's why that's a much more reasonable question for the Gemara to have, which is, even though it's not ona, can I spend money at a lower rate, meaning not cheating at all, on the concern that someone else may use the money in a deceptive fashion, which is the rest of the discussion in the Gemara.
$60 level.
Exactly, but you're not doing it. The Gemara never had a hava mina that you're allowed to spend money, right, in a deceptive way. The Gemara only wondered whether you're allowed to spend money in an honest way on the chashash that someone else will spend it on a dishonest way, and therefore the Tosfos Rashi rejects the whole thing. So what you have is really three positions. You have the Nesivos, who says you're allowed to spend, you're allowed to go enter a transaction overcharging on condition that you plan on giving the money back, because at the end of the day, the guy won't lose out. Tosfos, who seems to go farther than that, which is you're allowed to spend money overcharge on the assumption that if they bother asking you, you'll return the money, but otherwise you'll cheat them, and for some reason that's okay. And the Tosfos Rashi, who says, no, you're never allowed to do that, right? You can't, lechatchila, go and overcharge, overcharge somebody, even with the intent to return it. But I tend to think that...
How does it justify it?
What?
How does it justify that? The basis that it's like a picado?
So that's what I'll jump to in five, is that I think the Nesivos, even within Tosfos, I tend to think that is not the way to read Tosfos. I go with Rabbeinu David here. The assumption of the Nesivos is that Tosfos' discussion, whatever exactly it means, is true in all cases of Ona'a. However, I won't read Rabbeinu David inside, but Rabbeinu David points out is that there's good reason to believe that this discussion about Selah is not about Ona'a in general, it's about Ona'a of coins. And Ona'a of coins are unique. Now, why is Ona'a of coins unique? For the very simple reason, I think, that as the Gemara points out in the discussion that we're not going to get into, there is a hava mina in the Gemara, a plausible hava mina in the Gemara, that even if a coin has been shaved down and you aren't allowed to charge $60 for that $60 coin, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, you're allowed to treat it as if it's full $60. Why? Because in the end of the day, it's legal tender, which means that its value in like the world of the noumena is $60. It just practically, people won't spend $60 on it. But it in fact is worth $60 at some level. Right, so in the lidugma in the old days when you could actually go to the mint, right, and hand in your currency and get a gold based on the gold standard, the mint would give you a full $60 even if the average person wouldn't want to accept it for full value. I mean, the Gemara indicates that coins are different because at some level, even though it's been shaved down, because it's legal tender, it's still worth $60. So what I would say for Tosfos is that Tosfos never meant what the Nesivos thought he meant. What he said was, by coins, where a $60 coin is really worth a $60 coin. And if the guy is willing to accept it, then matovu manayim, because I gave him a $60 coin, and it's worth $60, so that's great, I'm not being mad at him. It's if he decides that because the average person won't accept it, he wants to come back to me, and I say, look, if he decides that he wants not just the theoretical value of this coin, but the practical value of the coin, then I'll return it to him. But then you're not cheating him either way. What you're saying is that if he, like the mint, is willing to reflect its legal value, so then, fine. If he decides that he wants me to pay back the difference between its theoretical value and its practical value, then I'll pay it back to him. But on neither side are you cheating him, because you actually paid him something. And to prove that coins are different, just look at number 6, right? As Shulchan Aruch paskens as follows. Yesh lehistapek imuter lehonos es chaver bepachos mishtos. Right? The Rush had a suffix that we just started with. Is it mutter to charge someone less than a sixth over ona or not? Im yesh ba'ona shava pruta. Aval madbeya, Shulchan Aruch says, even if you have a suffix in general by ona, whether you're allowed to charge less than a sixth over the price, until you get to a sixth, it's mutter lechatchila to use it at its full value. Why? Because a coin is a coin, right? If it's less than kedeona, so your $60 coin has now been shaved down, so it's $57 worth of silver. But it is still a $60 coin, and it legally can be spent as a $60 coin. So even for practical purposes, most people won't want to accept a coin that's been shaved down. That's only when it's been shaved down to a sixth. If it's less than a sixth, since the average person will accept the coin, and it's in fact legal tender, meaning it is actually worth $60, it's mutter lechatchila, even according to the Safek and the Rush. So what Shulchan Aruch is emphasizing, that ona by coins is fundamentally different, because normally, What you're doing by what you're talking about or not is, this is the price, and I overcharged you or underpaid you. By coins, that's not what it is. By coins, the price is still $60. There's a practical problem that most people won't take it for $60 because they look at it and they say, even though it's legal tender, it's missing silver, it's missing gold. So there's, but at some level, you're not overcharging them or underpaying them. At some level, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing because the legal tender hasn't changed. You also have to factor in the practical issue, right? But because at some level, it's not really onah, right? The standards of onah are changed. So I would tend to think, like Rabbeinu David, that Tosfos never ever said that you're allowed to overcharge someone on condition to give him back the money under any circumstances. His only havamina was that by coins, where at some level you're not overcharging them because the coin really is worth the $60, so under such circumstances you could say, if he's willing to deal with the theoretical value, good. If not, then I'm willing to pay it, right? That's a much more and much more reasonable, much less deceptive svara. So my tendency is to go in that direction, like Rabbeinu David, against the understanding of the Nesivos and Tosfos, which halacha would just mean poskening like the Tosfos Rush, and not poskening like that read in Tosfos. Right? And just look at the Sma, right? The Sma just says, right? Again, why is it mutl lachatkila lohotel biyofesh? Shigam achar yikablena mimenu velo yelo hefset klal, right? The point is that a coin, if it's only shaved down a little bit, it's legal tender and even practical tender because everyone will accept it at a full $60. It only has $57 worth of silver in it. Big deal. As long as everybody else is going to accept it for $60, that's fine. Yeah,
isn't Adam? The whole point of the fact that there's a not here that people will not necessarily accept it for as a $60 coin? If it's
correct, but it still is theoretically, and that's why I think there's that too. That's, again, what I think Tosfos is basing himself on is that double level, is that if I went to the mint, they would give me $60, right? I'm not going to the mint, right? And for whatever reason, the reality was that most people didn't accept.
Right, but the fact that there is a halacha of onah here at all is only because that change, or the unwillingness of people to accept it, creates a change in value in the actual...
Correct, but you have a dual value, right? You have a theoretical value and you have a practical value. And what the Gemara is saying is that when the practical value is so off from the theoretical value, so then that's too deceptive, right? But
because it changed, because I'm saying, I don't understand why there's an option for an individual seller to be able to opt out and say, Chazal understood that this change in acceptance of the coin creates a whole world of halachos of onah by matbea. But I'm just going to give it to you, and I'll smach that you'll accept it based on the legal tender value. But if you don't, then I don't see why that...
I think the reason is because in the end of the day, you're not really overcharging them or underpaying them or whatever, right? You're really paying them through, right? It's one thing to say, this is actually not worth this, and they're, right? But I'm going to charge you that anyways and hope that you don't notice, but if you do, I'll give you back the money, than to say, it really is worth it, right? And because let's say, right, let's say there's one mint, right, in the country. Fine. So if you, in the capital, and that's where the mint is, it's reasonable for you to assume that someone might accept it at full value, because why not? You can just go to the mint and take out the gold from the gold, right, based on the gold standard, right? It's not like it's impossible. It doesn't usually happen. So again, I'm not convinced that it's true, but I think that Tosfos was only at a havamina, right? Right, meaning I can't imagine what the Nesivos is saying, that I'm allowed to overcharge you just because somebody might give back, because I'm willing to give back the money, right? That sounds way too deceptive to be true to the laws of onah,
l'daiti.
Right, the benefit of a coin is, at least at some level, what you're saying is I'm not overcharging you, right? And, you know, for example, right, if you're not giving it to a merchant, if you're giving it, you know, to pay your parking ticket, right, so you reasonably could expect they would take the money because they're a government. They have to, right, accept it. Now, even the government will have certain standards, but they don't. Right, we discussed the mashal is that I'm pretty sure, at least in some places, the law is you're allowed to pay parking tickets with quarters, but not with pennies. Right? Why? Even though pennies are full legal tender. Right? Because even the government has its limits of how much we're going to respect. Respect our own tender at a ridiculous, right, to a ridiculous level, right? Nobody wants, if you have a $100 parking ticket, right, nobody wants you to pay that in buckets and buckets of pennies. No one wants you to do that in buckets of quarters either, but the government at some level has to reflect it, respect its own, right, legal tender. But even they have a, you know, limit to it. So, but there's that duality in coins where you can legitimately say, yes, you are paying your $100 thing in pennies, and despite that, I'm not going to accept it, even though I'm the government, right, because...
The issue of what you're going to accept, though, is also, it blends in with the fact that you're creating work for them. In other words, it's not only a question of do we recognize the currency or
correct.
Not.
Correct.
It's simply that if I pay by credit card, there may be different rules than if I pay by check.
Correct. But I think at the end of the day, that's sort of, limushal, what's going on with the coins, is that I'm giving you $60, but, you know, if it's already started to shave down, at some point it might be possible. At some point, right, you're not going to be able to spend it. And on that chash, you want to take less, even though you know that it's $60, right? It's that same idea that there's that duality. It's it might be not practically, even though objectively it isn't, and therefore we can have more flexible standards. That's my tendency.
Would a shulchan be accepted? He's supposed to be the expert. So would he accept a $57?
So I don't know, right? Presumably not, right? Sounds like not, but but maybe the mint would. Again, that's
and
why...
And you see by currency is different because you had the machlok is going all the way at 24.
Right,
keep in mind, Shulchani isn't collecting coins for himself.
No, I realize
he's accepting
that.
Coins that he's going
to give to other people.
Else.
Pawn off on somebody else.
So if he can't do that, then he's not going to accept it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Like coins.
So, you know what? Okay. I think the middle issue here is interesting, but I'm going to basically say things outside. I'm not going to read it inside. So this way, it won't take too much time. Okay. So basically, so just point two. The Gemara had said you aren't allowed to sell these coins to a tagar, right, to a businessman on the chashash, that they are going to then use it and deceive other people. Now, some poskim try to take this and expand it. So I found in the Daf HaLadaf that this... somebody, Stern, in the Imre Yaakov, based on this, suggested that you weren't allowed to a sofer who had a sefer Torah that he determined in the end is b'dieved kasher, but not lechatchila. He's allowed to sell to a private shul, you know, at a lower price and say, look, it's a b'dieved sefer Torah, but, you know, if you don't have a lot of money, it's kasher, you can use it, but he can't sell it to a sfarim store. Right? You can't sell it to someone who's going to sell it on. Because we are always concerned that when you sell something which is, you know, kacha kacha, if you sell it to a businessman, that's a problem because chash ramaut. He's going to sell it at top price and that's going to be onah.
The chashash is ramaut?
It's ramaut, yeah.
No, maybe the chashash is the mistake also.
No, so he's saying even if you tell him, right? You tell him this is b'dieved.
No,
you shouldn't tell it.
That we saw in the.
No, so the Gemara says chashash l'ramaut, right? That we're worried that the tagar is going to be a ramai, is going to deceive other people. The problem that sort of jumps out at this, and this is what the Rabbi Yisrael Elchanan says in Shuvas Nei Yitzchak, is in general we have a principle of uman lo mara amnuse, that we don't expect businessmen to lie because it will destroy their credibility, right? So why suddenly here are we so worried? Right? Normally we're not worried. Normally we give people the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be upstanding businessmen, especially since not doing it will destroy their reputation. So, you know, I'll skip the Yitzchak and I'll come back to it. One possibility is to say that what several Achronim say in the Rambam, which is that the Rambam had a different gear son in the Gemara. So if you just skip to 10, the Rambam says, Sela shenivkuma ve'emtza asur limkor oso laharago lacharam mibnesha marim bazacherim. He leaves out the word tagar. Right? The Rambam says you can't sell it to a violent salesman, right? But not to a regular salesman. So they have an azel, and Rabbi Yisrael Elchanan suggest that the Rambam never had this gear son. The point is, a regular businessman, you're right. There's no chash ramos by a regular businessman. There is a chash ramos by a violent businessman who you know uses force, right? You can't sell it to the mafia because they're going to pressure people to buy it at a price that it's not worth. But you're right. An average businessman, it's totally mutter. In fact, if they're right in the Rambam, that the Rambam didn't have that girsa and that's how he paskin, it's telling because Shulchan Aruch in 12 has the same girsa, where Shulchan Aruch also gets rid of the Lashon Tagar.
They have the girsa or they assume that
they assume that the Rambam didn't have the girsa.
We find one girsa that it's changed.
Right, no, it doesn't surprise me. I didn't have time to go look at the Hebrew website, but there is one. It doesn't have Tagar, it has Haram and Anas.
It has Tagar in the end, but I'm not sure it's Tagar or Goy.
Okay, so, meaning... Look, even if you look at all the manuscripts and there isn't one, the fact that Rambam leaves it out conspicuously, right, could mean that such a girsa exists and we don't have it in the manuscript library. If there is in the manuscript library, even better. And the fact that Shulchan Aruch quotes it, is telling, because if those achronim are right, then the answer is there is no stira. We're not worried about the average businessman. We're worried about the mafia. And to be fair, that's a totally reasonable assumption, Lidati, right? The Ein Yitzchak has three answers, though. So one is very, very lumdish, which is as follows. The No Debi Yehuda has a principle that chazakah works lishaafar, but not lahaba. A chazakah harai lishtanot works lishaafar and not lahaba, right? Because a chazakah, which could change, so in the past, we assume it hasn't yet changed. But in the future, since we know it will change at some point, so therefore we can't rely on the chazakah at all. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan tries to say the same thing is true here. Uman lor mara imnuse means that we don't suspect that a businessman has lied in the past. But every businessman, even if he's honest for 50 years, 70 years, maybe he'll be tempted down the line. And selling him, right, the kalim to deceive people relies not on his credibility in the past, but on the assumption that he will never be in a situation where he will want to be dishonest. And in general, we are more wary about projecting chazakos in the future, and therefore, even though post facto, right, I will trust what an uman tells me because I trust his honesty, I don't sell him something that will give him the ability to lie in the future because maybe one day he won't be honest, which is a very overly lumdish, but okay, interesting way of suggesting this. What? So we'll come back to that. Well, I mean, that's sort of what it is, right? So lifnei iver in the future. We assume that in the past he didn't lie. In the future, he might, and therefore it's sort of lifnei iver. That's possibility one. Possibility two is, like I already mentioned with the Eben Azel, is that we have a different girsa, and that there is no such halacha, right? That really it's only you can't sell it to the mafia, but you can sell it to the average person. That's his second possibility. And his third possibility, is that Uman Lomara Amnuse is only about that people won't lie about the quality of the product they're selling, right? So, for example, right, Rav Moshe Feinstein's example, sort of, that milk sellers won't sell you, right, you know, camel's milk, because if the government found out and publicized they sell camel's milk and not cow's milk, then they would lose their business. He said people are more likely to destroy their business if they lie about the quality of their products than if they do shady business deals, right, in their business, right? Because you might not buy milk from a dairy producer who sells you camel's milk, but if you find out they were involved in insider trading, as long as, you know, you might not care, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect me, right? So he said the same thing is true here. And Uman is more scared about lying about the quality of his product, so then we say Uman Lomara Emnuse. But if you sell him a coin that he can cheat with, right? So he's less worried, because worse comes to worse, people will think that he's a bit dishonest, and they'll, you know, maybe they stop doing business with him, but maybe they won't, right? Maybe they'll say, hey, I know you've been dishonest in the past, but your milk is really good, right? I'm bringing my own weights with me, right? Whatever the case is going to be, people are more likely to be dishonest when it won't affect the reputation of the quality of their product, and it will just reflect their personal integrity. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But that's his suggestion. If you look at the Ayelet HaShachar, it's Steinman in 13. So he brings up what Pesach said, right? That the reason that it seems to be usher here is Lifnei Iver. And he says the difference, therefore, between Uman Lomaram Nuse and this case is by Uman Lomaram Nuse, you're not enabling the dishonesty. What? It wasn't Pesach? Oh, it was Jeffrey? It was Jeffrey. So, Jeffrey. He said, by the case of the Uman, in general, the question is, can I trust him or not, right? Is this milk cow's milk or is it camel's milk? I assume he doesn't lie, but even if he's lying, so I didn't enable his lie, right? The only question is, can I believe him or not? Here, if I give him the coin, right, I'm not just trusting his integrity. If it turns out that I'm wrong, I was responsible for the future crimes. That's a bigger problem, right? So he says that's the reason we have to be worried here, because the lifnei iver element. It's not that I suspect his integrity as much as I have to be really careful about to what extent I would be involved in something which could turn shady later on.
Well, that's the same argument.
It's similar, right? It's similar to.
It's if I can find that lawsuit, if it's going
to
affect.
Right. I mean, you could connect it to the.
Yeah, it's just an extension.
Yeah, you could definitely connect it. If you look at the Piskei Choshen 14, just the last point, he says, "La'anis l'tagar m'shem Rambam v'achirim umav shma." Right, he paskins like Shulchan Aruch, right, like the Rambam, like the Evan Azel, the Dafka l'misha chashur al kach al motzer l'maser l'misha eno chashur. And he said, what's a nafkamina to this? He said, what happens if you accidentally were given a counterfeit, thank you, that's the word I was looking for, a counterfeit coin? Are you allowed to return it to the store and say, hey, I got a counterfeit coin? Are you allowed to assume that the store owner wasn't treating you on purpose? It wasn't that he had counterfeit coins, that he, you know, he's a counterfeiter and put it in his, you know, in his cash register. Can you just assume that he's an honest person, someone else passed a counterfeit, and therefore if you give him back the counterfeit, he's not going to then use it and cheat somebody else? So he says, well, if you paskin like the Ein Yitzchak, right, that we're worried that anytime you have a businessman you have to be choshesh, he's a lawyer. So then you can't give a counterfeit back even when it was, right, given to you, even when you're going to lose out because now it's lifnei iver. You're enabling the guy to use the counterfeit money on somebody else. If you think that we're allowed to trust the average businessman, that you can give back the counterfeit coin or dollar to the businessman because the assumption is he's honest and it was an accident and...
Even if it was an accident, still according to Yitzchak Elchanan, first understanding of it, you still couldn't give it back to him, even if it was an accident.
Well, I don't know. According to the first day of the Ein Yitzchak, maybe you could give it back to him, right? Because the chashash really is, did he mean to give you the counterfeit? And lisha'avar, he has a cheskas kashrus, right? Lahaba, right. Not.
But then giving it back to him in the future, even if it was an accident, you still couldn't give it back to him.
Right, no, for sure, right? You couldn't give it back to him even in the future.
Right.
But then he backs off a bit of it, right? That may, he said, maybe he doesn't tell him this. He says... then he says, maybe that's not true. He says, but let's say it was the mafia give you a counterfeit, right? So you're probably not going to fight with them, but let's say you would, right? He said, can you give it back to the mafia? So according to pretty much every shita, the assumption would be no. But he said, but what happens if you go to the person and he says, I'm not going to give you back your money at all? He said, look, I'm going to admit that that was counterfeit and I'll give you back your money, right? I'll go back on the deal. That's fine. But only if you give me back the counterfeit coin, right? So now you're stuck, right? Because you are stuck, right? He wants the counterfeit coin, right?
To
pass it off to somebody else. But if you don't do it, it's not just that you're not, right? It's not like he's... The other option is you losing out money, right? It's one thing if you said, look, you counterfeited me, and he said, okay, we'll go back on the deal and give me back whatever money. He doesn't care about the counterfeit, so there's no reason to assume he's going to use it. Sometimes it's very clear that he wants to... he wants the counterfeit money back to cheat somebody else, but if you don't give it back to him, you're going to lose out. So what's the halacha?
This is not mishnah v'chol ta mishol.
Why not?
Because you give it to him, he knows exactly what it is.
Correct, but
he's going to use it.
That's lifnei. That's
lifnei iver doesn't require an iver.
Yeah, so, that doesn't require an iver. He's gonna. Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah.
He lifnei iver usually does something by accident going.
No, no. Or I'm enabling you to do a sin on purpose, right? That's also lifnei iver.
The Rambam says I'm not allowed to buy stolen goods from a thief because I'm encouraging him to steal. He's not right. Iver. He knows he's not allowed to steal.
Nahon.
So here also.
It's Messiah with Varaveira.
Right, or it's Messiah or whatever it is.
Okay.
Listen, which is the Bidyevit version of it. But it's but here it might actually be lifnei iver, right? Without this counterfeit coin, he doesn't have a counterfeit coin, right? So it might even be lifnei iver, right? Trey avrei denara. Maybe. I don't know. Yesh ladun. But whatever. So there the Piskei Choshen says, tsaruch iyun. Because he said, on the one hand, you'd say, I can't give it to him because, as we see, when someone is actually a dishonest salesman, I can't enable him to cheat other people. Mitzad sheni, maybe that's only where I'm selling it to him. Here, because the sale was betoz, because I didn't realize it was counterfeit, it's as if the sale never happened. Right? It's biktol mekach. And he, right, so tsarach iyun, when the Gemara said you can't give the mezuyah, the coin which is lacking to the merchant, is that because you can't engage in commerce to your benefit because of the shash of lifnei iver, or you can't enable him to have the coin even if it's still his, right? Because in this case, it's really still his, right? It was bitul mekach, so he says tsarach iyun, he's not really sure, but that's question two. Okay, so third question, yeah.
Different by faulty merchandise, because we'd say a merchant wouldn't...
According to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, yeah, if the merchandise were off, it would be different than if the coin was off. Yeah, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. At least his first answer. His third answer. Not his first answer. Right? According to his third, not his first. Okay, the last question. In terms of Chazara. So, before we get to Chazara, just, we'd already mentioned that Onam B'Medbeya is different, right? Such, like we saw in Shulchan Aruch, that it's Mutter L'Chadchila Pachos Mishtos, which already tells us that things are a bit different. I just put a series of issues that are just different here. So, first one, Pisach Choshen 15. So he says, V'din shtarei kesef imishlan din shtaros amadbeos. He said, first, just a practical question. When we deal with our dollars, right, do they have the status of shtar, or do they have the status of madbeya? So he said, I am Sefer Bris Yehuda, which is his book. Sheveitim edivar achronim, v'nir das rov achronim, shedinam kemadbeya. He said, most people think that our money has the status of madbeya and not shtar, right, not a, you know, promissory note. But he says, al kol panim le'inyon ona'a, right, etc. He said, at least for Ona'a, it's probably money. Because the whole question of whether, like by Kiddushin, you could use a dollar as opposed to gold coins, right? Because maybe a dollar is a shtar and it wouldn't work for Kiddushin. That's a formal question. Is this Kesef or not Kesef? He's like, by Ona'a, the laws of Ona'a for Kesef is not because of the formal status of is it a madbeya or is it a promissory note. It's the difference between tender and chattel, between things you buy and the things you use to buy. So he says, whatever you think is true in general, it's clear that by ona'a, the ona'a of madbeya, the laws are true whether you think that our money is a madbeya or you think it's not madbeya. Whatever laws apply to money apply to our kesef, at least by Ona. I tend to think he's correct on that point. Yeah. But not with a star. Right, you couldn't give her a check.
The question is whether it has any value.
Is it basically a check?
The kesef has value.
Correct. Right, if you think it's no more than a promissory note, right? You know, like, think about when there was a gold standard.
Well, we'll
right?
Come back into this and no bishtaros.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll come back to it. But his point is,
A lot of it is merchant because they in the times of the Gemara, when it talks about the Turian seller versus the regular seller, like all of the standard of coins was based on how much silver content they had. That evolved at some point.
Correct.
Vendor, and it didn't make a difference. So it could be that some of the Rishonim we were talking about earlier in this year that it's. There was that change.
Correct.
But
he's saying...
trying to apply, basically... used to be basically a weight issue of how much...
Right, but he's saying... But at some level, right, it's clear that we're talking... The issue here seems to be currency, right, rather than matbeya. Mm-hmm. Right, it seems to be currency, right? That's his point. Which I think he's probably right. Okay, the Nesivos makes a... What is also, I think, a Pashut point is that this whole discussion of Ona'a is talking about cases where you're, let's say, buying and selling currency, or you're buying and selling things with money. It doesn't apply if you give somebody gold, you give gold to a minter and ask him to mint it, right? He says, near Ditzirfa, Haino Shomim Mabeh Echa Kachum Mechaveh, Veshav Yosem Mikitz Vazamelech Yitzal Shulchan, Yesh Lomar, Kimle Mistaker, Chen Ven Mechil, sorry, is that this one or the different one? He said all of this assumes that everybody understands that the standards of the currency, right? If the question is, you have a gold coin and someone else thinks that it's worth 24 and it's worth 21 or something like that, that's toes be, right? That's toes be Dover Shabiminyan, right? Sorry, Biminyan Bimishkal, right? So this whole Shaila is only where everybody understands the standards, right? That the legal tender is a $60 coin, and it's been shaved down to $55 of silver, and the question is how much it's worth. It's not where you look at the coin, and someone says, that's a $60 coin, someone says, oh, I thought it was a $55 coin, and spends it as such. That's, right, that's Toz B'Dover Shabiminyan, right? Because there, it's an actual value, or if someone, let's say, hired you to mint a coin, right, and he put too little gold in it, right, that's not an Onoa question anymore, that's a Dabar Shabbat Mishkal coin, right, you said put this much weight and he put in less, right, all those things are not the question. The question here is not that. He says, Oh, near Lefin is Idi, Majgazu Machabra Bissel Shahazera Kede Onoa, the Machzer Onoa, Meir Al Korchach Shabimakom Acher Yotzin Bimishkal Ze, Kolmad Beos, Ofenzeno, Tarak Lakwa Tamad Beos, Shirozo Lolichon Lemishan. His second point is, that these coins that you can spend them in mumach zero na'a, he thinks that's only where the coin is spendable somewhere. But if it's not spendable anywhere, so as the Gemara already said, you have to destroy it, right? Because of chashash ona'a. Okay, in 17, the Machmei Ephraim says, Nir lefiani is daiti, dafilo dasa ramamzal, lo airi, ela bishatsirfa bistam, avalam shon, anosin mitchilo shulchan, mekama mitstarif mezuva, amr lebe esrim, venimsha, hishim istarev is barbav esrim, hare zem makachtos, etc. He's, again, in the similar line of the Nesivos, he says, this is only where there was a ta'us, right? Which makes sense in Onoa. If you asked the guy and said, hey, is this coin actually worth this much? And he said yes, and it isn't, right? That's just a lie. Again, it's a Dabar Shabiminyan. The point of the Nesivos Machane Ephraim is that all these discussions of coins, of Onoa by coins, are where there was a mistake. There was a shaven down coin. The question is, can you still spend it? It's not where someone said, please, give me a coin at this value, at this much gold, and you asked, is there this much gold in it, this much silver? And he said, yes. And he was lying, that's a mekachtos, that's not onah. Or he said, please mint this coin for me, and mint it with the right weight, and he doesn't put it in enough gold, right? That doesn't count, right? All those things are mekachtos, they're davar shebiminyan. Those are not questions of, not questions of onah. Okay. The Archa Shulchan in 19 just notes that this whole question of kesef seems only to apply to kesef, that is the legal currency, but zahav, in a place where you aren't using zahav as the normal coins, even though in some places zahav is a coin, if it's in a place where the zahav isn't the currency, then it has the din of peros, and therefore it wouldn't get the din of, right, just because gold can be used for currency doesn't mean it gets to be used for currency. Now, for us, that has almost no nafkaminas. The nafkamina is that what the Pesachei Choshen says in 20, which is uledvarav nirash dolar b'makom she'eno matbea chuki mamash adino kipeira. He said, according to that, he would think that if I was, let's say, buying currency, I was buying American dollars in Canada, since American dollars isn't legal tender in Canada, I would have to use not the standards of matbea, but the standards of peira, because I'm basically buying peira. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, in order for the laws of Matbeah to apply and not the normal laws of Ona'a, it has to be legal tender here. But if I was buying foreign tender, right, then that wouldn't be true. It would be Peira. And therefore, if, let's say, you paskin, remember we saw that La Halacha, there's a machlokes, whether by coins it's a sixth or a twelfth. So La Halacha, therefore, the nafkamina would be when you buy dollars, let's say, is Onah a twelfth or is it a sixth? And how much time do you have to be Choser? Ashir Letagar or Erev Shabbos and all those nafkaminas. The Pesachei Choshen says, Misvara lo nira kein desosof mekablo kerech matbei. He says, but I don't think that's true in the case of our dollars. Because when you buy dollars, you're not buying it as peros, you're buying it as money. We call it buying currency, right? Even though it's not legal tender here, the fact is it is still currency, and therefore he thinks it's not true. I have a bigger problem with this, which is I was trying to think of the only case this would ever come up, which I think is buying currency. But I think any case of buying currency, there's a different reason why it's chozer, even pachos megdei onah, which is that it's davar shebiminyan. Ein lecha davar shebiminyan yoser mizu, right? You go to a bank, they give you a rate, they tell you to the cent how much they're going to give you, how many, right, how much American dollars you can buy for Canadian dollars, or whatever it is now, right? Like, you know, 15 cents of American currency for a Canadian, whatever it is, right? Or 80 cents, or whatever it is now. But they tell you exactly how much, right? It's a davar shebiminyan. So I don't know if there's any practical nafkamina to this, because literally every time you buy it, right, you buy it an exact amount.
What if you're just using the foreign currency in a different
Right. I guess if you're using the foreign currency, it might be different. If you're using the foreign currency, then maybe it would be midin matbe'ah. Right. In a country where you're allowed to do that, or, well, no. In a country where you're allowed to do that, it's legal tender. In a country where you're not allowed to do it, right, but people let you do it anywheres.
So the point is, it's still
at sports stadiums, you can spend American money.
Right. Or like in Israel, you can use American dollars, and like the cabs, they'll just charge you a bit more. You're right. That's probably the only case where it would come up. Right. And there, so according to, yes, maybe that would be it, right? Where you're allowed, where people, even though you're not, you shouldn't be allowed to, they let you spend, you know, a foreign currency, maybe. Okay.
You said because it's a double dominion, you don't have an ONR problem.
You mean you have a very big ONR problem, right? Then it's closer automatically, always.
Well, then how are guys like Friedberg and Cambridge allowed to be in the management business?
No,
there's always a spread.
Oh, no, but that's fine. The spread's fine, right? I mean, oh, no, it's only when it's deceptive. If you say, look, this is my price to change the money.
Yeah, he tells you.
No, my point is only, oh, no, is a sixth of the going rate. The going rate is between, you know, a fifth of 1% to. Correct, but there's a range in the market, right? Again, this comes back to our old question, which is how do you define prices, bizman hazeh, and what would be considered a legitimate range, right? The legitimate range is like from a fifth of 1%, which is like the lowest you'll get for like money changers, a really good money changer, right? The one I used, right? He gave me a fifth of 1%, right? Which is really pretty good, to about 2 or 3% that the bank will charge you, which is ridiculous already, right? In both directions, right? But they, you know, if it's 10%, no one's doing that. Everyone knows that, so no. Okay. Let's skip down to 23. Okay. So the Gemara said, so how much can you, for how long can you retract on this? The Gemara said, Bikrachim Ashir L'Shulchani Bikvarim Ad Arve Shabbosos. So Maishna B'Sel D'Maflik, Maishna B'Talas D'Maflik. The Gemara says, what's the difference between money and Sela? Because on Rabbi Yikitam, it's reason B'Talas B'Krachim Tanu. So either, right, that's by Talis as well. And Rava just said, look, Talis, kol inish kim le bigave, sela kim in blue inish kolim gave, ela shulchani hilkach bakrachim, diko shulchani at shirla, shulchani bakrachim, like a shulchani at a vaisha batsu salkin in the shulka. More people can tell you whether this is a good piece of clothing than they can this is a good piece of coin. And therefore, we give different amounts of time for coins and for objects. But the Gemara says, v'imma yamakira afilu achar. What's the case? How could you ever return it after 12 months? So Amar of Chista, it goes like this. After 12 months, if you realize that you've misspent, that you've spent a coin that really wasn't really worth that, you're right. You don't have to give it back. Right? They only have enough time to retract until Erev Shabbos. But after 12 months, Amar of Chista, Midas Chasidus Shanukan. That after 12 months, right? A chassid would return it, would still say, oh, I'm sorry, I gave you a defective coin, and would return it. So the Gemara says, Iachi ima seifa. So then what does the end say? In lo laf taromes. Liman, who's complaining? Ila chassid, if you're the chassid, lo lakule me ve lo lataromes dehavile. Right? If the person comes and said, hey, you gave me a defective coin 12 months later, so the Gemara says you have two choices. Either accept it and smile with a smile, right? Or don't accept it and don't complain. But don't say, oh, I'm going to be a nice guy and I'm going to, even though I don't have to give you back the produce, and I don't have to go back because I gave you a defective coin, I don't have to accept the defective coin back, right? Don't accept it, right? And don't, right? Complain about it, right? Either accept it and don't complain or don't accept it, but don't accept it and complain, right? So I don't know, who's complaining here? So the Gemara said, El Lehayach de Kibla Minei. So the Gemara said, it must be the person who came back to him after 12 months and said, I want to retract. And he said, okay. So the Gemara said, the guy was nice to you after 12 months and took back the money. You're going to complain to him? So the Gemara says, Hachi kamar, ha'achayr, afal pisha ein mekablayim enu, ein lo alav, elav taromes. So the Gemara says, no, it's as follows. If you use a defective coin, you can force him to be chozer until he shows it to a shulchani or until Erev Shabbos. After that, you can complain about it. You can say, hey, you gave me a defective coin. You really should take it back, but you can't force him anymore, right? So after that, there would be midas chasidus, but you can't force him. Now, is this true? The midas chasidus aspect, is that true of everything or only by coins? Because we've already noted that coins are a bit different than everything else, right? Or is it true by all ona'ah, that even after the zman, that you could have shown it to a tagar, right? Even there, Amidas Chasidus would be returned the Davar Shebo'na 15 years later. So if you look at what I bolded in the Shinim Gubet says, I would have said it's only by coins. Right? Because we've already seen coins are unique. Right? And as we've seen, some of the Rishonim concerned about, that one of the concerns by Ona is that if we allowed you to retract forever, it would upend the entire monetary system. So I would have said that by normal things, right, if we're always going to say, oh yeah, give it back. Like, people are allowed to move on with their lives. They're allowed to use objects. They're allowed to sell objects. Once the time has passed, the time has passed. By money, right, money is unique. Okay, I'll take back the money. I'll spend it later. Right, money's a bit more fluid that way.
It's not a consumption.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're not consuming it, right?
More the clothing.
Exactly, right? Money is money. So I would have said money's unique. That's what I would have said. But however, Rav Haigon disagreed with me. Okay. So what can I do? So Rav Haigon said, "Who adin b'shar metaltel nava b'shayla lokech b'nai la rosin l'tagarim im makir nafil lachar shnei masar chodesh yeish lov tarom mosvim lo yachzer ona." Quoted by the Ramach. Okay. Fine. Okay, we have 4 minutes left, so we're not going to finish. We'll have to finish it next time, but I'll set up the question, and then we'll go through it next time. There's basically two shitos in this sugya of how to understand what is going on with this 12 month thing and the like. Specifically, with the following question: what happens if there was a glaring mistake, right? Much more than a sixth, right? It was 50% off, right? What's the halacha? So the Rambam says as follows: Amatei chayev lahachzer adina rosella.
So this Bikrachem, is
with
currency.
What? With currency.
So it was a mistake in the currency.
Yeah, right. Meaning it was shaved down not a sixth; it was shaved down 50%, right? So what's the halacha? So the Rambam says, "Amatei lahachzer adina rosella. Bikrachem ad kedei shiur l'sholchani. Bikfarim shein l'sholchani. Matzri sham yesh lahachzer avashavasos. Shein makar sel v'chalstrona v'damel ala sholchani." V'uadin l'mocher svarim avanim tovos u'margali sheish lokeach lachzer ad shiur osam l'tagarim abekim behen bechol makom shehein. Shein hakol bekim bedvarim elu l'fichol mayamakar bosam medina v'holich. Okay, right. Basically, the same thing. In the halacha of Bet, he says, however, hanosin sel chaser lechaveiro. If you give a lacking coin to someone, imaya makira afilu achar shnemasar chodesh harayze machzira. V'imaya efshar lotzel yidei atchak eno yochol lahachzira lachar zman el imkain kiblo mimenu midas chasidus. The Rambam understands the sugya as follows: if a coin turns out not just to be lacking, but to be totally defective, then even lachar shnemasar chodesh or forever, you're allowed to return it. Right? I mean, the whole discussion in the Gemara that you have only until you show it to a money changer, and after that it's only midas chasidus. That's only if the coin has only been shaved down an eighth, and therefore it's still spendable. But if the coin was shaved down so much that it's now invalid, it's not currency at all, right? So then... Now, why is that true? So Pashtus is what the Maritat says. I won't read it inside, but the Maritat in 29 says the reason is because the Rambam thinks as follows. The halachos of onah for money are unique. But if the coin is not just hard to spend because it's been shaved down a little bit, but it's invalid at this point, then we're not in the world of onah anymore. We're in the laws of mekach toz, right, bitul mekach, and the halacha of bitul mekach is la'olam chozer, right? And that's the way the Bach paskins. The Prisha, the Drisha, same person, and the Sma, also the same person, and the Magen Mishnah say the opposite. They say no. They say that the only time that you have until you go to the Tagar is if it was only lacking a little bit. But if you looked at it and knew it was invalid, you immediately lose your right to be Chozer because there's implicit Mechila. Because if it was obvious, it was near and laying nayim.
That's like the Ona rule, that you have a certain amount of time. And
correct, and he says, if it's near and laying nayim, you're chayiv to be chozer.
It's not a din Ona. Akadesh Adas Toa isn't a din Ona.
Right, so...
It's like a disclaimer thing.
Right, so...
A disclaimer works.
Well, in the extreme, isn't that counterfeit? I mean...
Right,
the
Okay, we're at 11:30, so we'll come back to it next time, but as we'll see, next time we'll read... I think just the Sma, really. If you look, we're really at the last two sources. So I'll just read the Sma and the Taz next time. I gave you everything, the Prisha and the Drisha and whatever. But in the end of the day, he says it the same in each of the three places. So we'll read one of them next week, and then we'll move on to the next topic. But we've... Okay, I'm only 3 minutes behind schedule. That's not bad. Okay.